James chapter 2, verse number 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. We all need Jesus. We are all guilty. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we are, there's not a single one of us that can master the discipline and not ever sin. So at some point in our lives, we have sinned. And because of that, we need Jesus. Because of that, we needed the cross. Because of that, we need the forgiveness of God. We are all guilty. You know, you talk to people about their lives and they say, well, I never killed anybody. That's one thing. That's the one. Okay, you're not guilty of one. There's a whole bunch. There's a law. And there's not one. Even when that man came to Jesus, remember, and he said, all of these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus says, well, that's great. Go sell everything you have and join us. Oh, no. Did it say he went away and wept bitterly? For he had much. He was wealthy. Oh, see, that covetous thing, that other God's thing, he messed up, didn't he? He thought he was perfect. And if you, maybe at some point in your life, believe on it, I've overcome it, and that'd be great. If you say, I've left sin behind completely, I never fall short, I never slip, never have bad thoughts, never say bad things, never do bad stuff, that's great. But understand something. Even if you reach that level, you still needed Jesus, and you still need Jesus. We need a Savior. He says he is guilty of all. Verse 13. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed mercy. Judgment without mercy. I do not want judgment without mercy. When I stand before God, I want Him to be ready to extend mercy. When I pray, I want God to extend mercy to me. When you pray, make sure that you go before God. Remember, the priest, before he could go into the Holy of Holies, he first had to cleanse. He first had to have the ritual cleansing. He first had to apply the blood. He had to change his clothes, all of those things, because he had to be clean before he went to God on the behalf of others. Begin by saying, God, forgive me. Begin your prayer by saying, Lord, I need your mercy. And then ask what you will. We need God's forgiveness. And when we go before God, we don't want judgment without mercy. But he warns us here, and he said, you'll get just judgment without mercy if you show no mercy. You say, but I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and so I don't have to show mercy. You understand that salvation only gives you eternal protection. It doesn't give you protection here when it comes to a lack of forgiveness. If we show a lack of mercy, if we're ungodly, if we're unbiblical, we will experience hard consequences in this life. Jesus said what? You reap what you sow. So if you're a nasty, wicked, ugly person, you're going to experience that kind of a world around you. And if you are loving and hopeful, you're going to experience that kind of world around you. That's reality. Now, does that mean that hopeful people never have a bad day? Doesn't mean that. Does that mean that negative people never have a good day? Doesn't mean that either. But the majority of what we experience has to do with it's the consequences of what we have sown. That's what we reap. So mercy, look at this, verse 13, last phrase. He rejoiceth against judgment. Judgment walks into the ring. Mercy walks into the ring. Who walks out the champion? every time. Mercy. The grace of God. There is no sin that God won't forgive. But we've got to go to God and ask His forgiveness. We've got to ask for His mercy. I've so many times come across people who say, but God can't forgive me for what I've done. You're wrong. He can. He will. He wants to. But we have to be willing to accept God's forgiveness, God's grace. Verse number 14. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works. Can faith save him? Now, of course, when we say saved, because we're Baptists, we think saved means you're going to heaven. The word saved here is not talking about the same thing. Let me tell you something. If you call on God today and say, God, forgive my sins, I trust Jesus as my Savior, and I give my life to you, you've repented of your sin, you're saved. Your name goes in the book of life, then that faith saves you. That's the answer. But praise the Lord for rain. I got to give y'all a minute to shout. I think Carolyn's going to dance in the rain. But if you get saved and you don't live by the discipline, you don't live by faith, then that faith is not going to help you in this life. That's the point James is making. Look, showing mercy and extending grace demonstrates our faith. But you can be saved, you can have the mercy of God, and not show the mercy of God, and you're going to live with the consequences of judgment over mercy. You're going to live with that. Still go to heaven, name still in the book of life, but if you think your faith is going to protect you from the consequences of continuous sin, you're wrong. Go out and rob a bank. FBI comes up and they, Sister Emily says, don't tell them to do that. The FBI comes to you and says, we got you on camera, and you go to the bank, and you say, but I'm saved. Are they going to let you go? No. You know, and we talk about that. If you cut your hand, you're going to bleed. You say, but I'm saved, but you're still going to bleed. There are consequences for our actions. You're still going to heaven, but what happened? But you just did something that has automatic natural consequences. We have to understand that salvation does not protect us here in this life from the consequences of our sin. So can faith keep us or save us or protect us from ungodliness, from sin in this life? And James says the answer to that is no. It won't keep you. It won't protect you. It won't save you from the consequences of your actions. There are going to be consequences. Verse number 15, and he goes on, he explains here, if a brother or a sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say, that's the key, say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Right? That's faith. A man says, I have faith, and we say, be warmed and filled. Is that going to change their life? They're still destitute and naked. They're still hungry. They're still needy. But you said, be warmed and filled. But you didn't give me anything. Notwithstanding, you got those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? What is the advantage? Guys, when we get saved, it's not just supposed to give us eternal salvation. It's supposed to give us that salvation that begins now. That walking in Jesus today. Right? Buried with Him in baptism. Risen to walk in newness of life. The old creature passed away. All things become new. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind's not going to get renewed because you prayed and got saved. Your mind's going to get renewed when you put this in it. Our mind's going to get renewed when we read the Word of God, when we pray, when we meditate, spend time with God. That's how the mind gets changed. It's how our perception, our thinking gets changed. If we continue in sin, we ignore what God told us to do. We don't study the Word. We don't go to preaching. We don't sit in class and listen and get taught the things of God. How can we expect to grow in our knowledge? We're not. We're not going to. Just because you say be warmed and filled, it doesn't help. If we continue in rebellion, sin will destroy your life. It's amazing. I talk to people who have the evidence of sin and spiraling out of control, and I say to them, Jesus can save you. And they say, I'm already saved. In other words, I knew better. I knew that what I was doing was going to destroy me. But I already have salvation. Their life has no evidence. Their life shows no clarity of faith. And yet, they have accepted Christ. But James says, what a waste. What a waste. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works or evidence or actions or deeds or whatever word you want to use there, it's dead. People come and they get saved, or they get saved without coming to church, get saved there somewhere. We talk to them about Jesus, they get saved, but they don't follow up. That's why it's so important. If you lead someone to Jesus, follow up with them. Say, hey, let me pick you up Sunday and take you to church with me. And then when you get here, say, let me introduce you to the pastor. Let me show you the baptistry. Now that you're saved, you need to get baptized and become part of the church. Walk them through it. That's called discipleship. But if you're the one that led them to Jesus, you need to walk them through those steps. Hey, we buy them a Bible when they get baptized, but if you're the one that led them to Jesus, how about you get them a Bible? Just tell me, we'll buy it and let you give it to them. They need to be discipled. They need to be walked through the steps. Because if they get saved and there's nothing after that, their life is not going to have evidence. Faith is dead being alone. What benefit is it? When you get saved, you have the Holy Ghost, God's presence inside, but you don't know what to do with it. What benefit is it? See, we need training. We need discipleship. We need someone to come alongside of us and help us to learn about faith. And James says if it's just faith, if we just get them saved and don't do anything else for them, there's going to be no evidence. I don't know how many people I've talked to who have been so far away from God, and the Bible talks about this, they've gotten so far away from God that they forgot that they were saved. Can you forget you're saved? And yet the Bible says it's possible. They forgot that they were saved. And I'll go do the funeral and somebody will come along and I go to the funeral prepared. You know, I mean, I don't say, you know, he went to hell, sorry. I don't do that. I don't know what people expect, but I go and I talk about faith and I talk about the person that they were and all that kind of stuff. But then somebody will come up to me afterward and they'll say, well, Pastor, I just want you to know. Or usually they say, Reverend. Reverend, I just want you to know. He got saved when he was 10 years old and I was there and I witnessed it. He was living for the Lord and then something happened. He got away from the Lord. You know that salvation that's 70 years old still there. But James said because there was nothing added to it. It was alone. It was dead. All those years it was dead. It was inactive. It didn't help him. And so he went without comfort and he went without hope and he went without the fellowship and the communion and the direction of God. Guys, our salvation is not a get out of hell free card. It is a come into the family card. It is you belong to me card. When the Father, Ronnie got on this the other day and this stole my preaching for a year. I can't preach it. The Father saw his Son coming back. Ran out there. And he called his servant and he says, bring me some shoes and bring me a robe. Put a ring on his finger. For my son, which was dead, is alive. Was he still the son? He was still the son the whole time. But he was absent the benefits. He had withdrawn himself from the benefits of being a son of the Father. Faith without works is dead. But faith with works will build us up and increase our faith and make what we need to be for us, for others, and for God. You see, faith without works won't help us, and it won't help others. Covert faith or motionless faith helps no one now. Our faith is supposed to not just change us, it's supposed to help other people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4 says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Think about that. If somebody who's got a little bit of faith, they're saved, but they're doing a little bit, at least they're trying a little bit to build their faith and to minister and to help others and to serve God a little bit. You say, well, it's a lion's share of faith, but a living dog is better than a dead lion. Think about the names of pastors and preachers and evangelists of the past, whether it be Billy Graham or Billy Sunday. Let me tell you something. Though we have recordings and publications and such as that, you are alive today. And you, with your faith, can make more of an impact today than they can today. But if we use it, if we don't use it, what good is it? Faith without works is dead. Verse 18, yeah, amen. Say thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. How can you show me your faith without demonstrating that? If you say you believe in heaven, how would you demonstrate that? By showing other people the way of heaven. If you say you believe in hell, how would you demonstrate that? By showing people how to avoid hell. If you say you believe the Word of God, how will you demonstrate that? By reading it, by sharing it. You say you believe in the benefit of the church, how will you demonstrate that? Be part of it. I've often wondered, people that don't come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, if they would criticize us if we quit coming. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about everybody. I know they'd criticize me if I... Preacher doesn't come to church on Sunday night anymore. We got to get a new preacher. Now, somebody asked me after I first came here, you know, said, how are we going to get them to come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night? I said, probably not going to. You're probably just not going to. It's just, things have changed. Y'all ever been to a two-week revival? How many of you ever been to a two-week revival? How many of you went every night? Been a while, hasn't it? How about a one-week revival and you went every night? How about a three-night revival and you went every night? That's more like it. We're like, yeah, we could do that. We're lucky to go to church one time a week now. If we say we think it's necessary, we think it's beneficial, how we demonstrate that? And that's what James is getting at. How can you show me you really believe it? You can only show me what you really believe by what you do. Say, I believe that bridge is strong. I believe that bridge will hold you. Okay, you think I could drive across it? Yeah. Would you drive it? No. But I believe you can. He doesn't really believe it, does he? We demonstrate what we believe by what we do. That's the only way to show our faith. He says, I will show you my faith by what I do. By the way, whether we know that's what we're doing or not, that's what we're always doing. We're always proving what we believe by what we do. We're really proving what we believe is important by what we do. Show me your faith. How does my faith influence my life, my actions? Does it make me godly if I believe the Word of God, so does that... So do I live godly? I say I believe the Bible, so do I live charitably? Am I generous? Am I disciplined? Am I compassionate? Do I believe, do I really believe that discipleship is important? Do I really believe that evangelism is important? Do we believe that? I'll tell you how I know if you believe it or not. Give me a list of what you're going to do tomorrow. Not what you plan to do. Write it down when you're done and show me what you did tomorrow. Show me what you did yesterday and Friday and Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday. Show me what you did, and I'll tell you. Why? Because what we believe is demonstrated by what we do. So our priorities are set or revealed by what we do. Verse 19, thou believest that there's one God. How many of us believe there's one God? Amen, I do. Amen. You know what James said? Thou doest well. By the way, he said the devils believe that. You want a trophy? Everybody believes that. The devil knows that. So if you think that's made up, he said, that's not really changed your life. Because even devils believe that. Why are devils where they are? Why are the angels of Lucifer bound in the abyss in darkness until that day? Why? Because of what they believed? Because of what they did. Because of what they did. And what they did revealed what they believed. And they believed that Lucifer could overthrow God and take the throne. And so they got on his side. And it cost them eternity. Verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, faith without works is dead. Demonstrate what you believe. What we believe is apparent. It is obvious from the outside. Brother, somebody asked me, I'll just put it this way. Somebody asked me before church about that Syrophoenician woman in Sunday school this morning. Why was Jesus so coarse with her? Well, a Syrophoenician woman was likely a black woman. Her skin had a different tone to it than theirs did. So it wasn't, you know, all these people in Israel, didn't matter where they were from, they would come there. But she was obvious from the outside. You could see she was not a Jew. That was the difference. And what I'm telling you is, you don't have to tell me what you believe, because I can see it. And I don't have to tell you what I believe because you'll see it. If you spend any time with anybody, you'll find out what they believe. Because what they believe will be demonstrated by what they do. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works and by works was made perfect? By faith, Abraham. Guys, I'm not discounting this. I'm not dismissing this. This morning, you probably said, well, the preacher says we can do anything we want to. No, I said there's preference and tradition, and then there's right. There's Bible and doctrine and God, and then there's everything else that we add to it. Wearing a suit and tie doesn't make me holy. If I was wearing flip-flops and blue jeans and a t-shirt, I could preach the same message. It might not be heard the same way, though. Because we have preferences. Because we have traditions. That's okay. Just know there's a difference between tradition and doctrine. Now, tonight, I come in and I say, we must have faith. He says, well, Abraham was justified by his works. What I'm saying is, it didn't matter what Abraham said he believed. He showed what he believed by what he did. And it doesn't matter what we say we believe. We show what we believe by what we do. Verse 23, Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? What he's saying is that it didn't matter what Rahab believed and it didn't matter what Rahab wanted, it was what she did that saved her. And if she hadn't put that line out and if she hadn't rescued the spies, then she would have died with all the others. What we do matters. Not just what we believe. What we believe matters. But my question is, if we're not performing it, if we're not demonstrating it, do we really believe it at all? Or are we like those Pharisees and scribes where we start Matthew chapter 15? When he says, with their lips they profess, but their deeds they deny. What we do matters. It is my prayer and my belief that each one in this room already knows Christ as Savior, but if not, right now from your heart to God's heart, you could pray and say, God, I'm a sinner and I know I need you. And I know Jesus died for me and rose from the grave to give me victory, and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. And you can have salvation. And then take the steps necessary to build on that and to make your faith work in your life for you and for others. Let's stand. Father, we do love you so much, and we're thankful to be in your house with your people and to be able to open your word. We thank you for the rain, and we pray that you will give us safety as we go now. Hear our prayers. Answer them according to your love and according to your power. I pray that you will show us the way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.